Well, we desire the Lord to bless the word this afternoon. I feel like the Lord's given me a few little thoughts to share with us, and just want to look into the word of the Lord a little. In 1 John 4 and 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." You know, I think about our world today and how many ideas there are, and how many ideas of God, and within that, how many ideas of religion there are. And within religion, or even as we heard a while ago, all these different branches called Church of God, and just on and on. It's endless, isn't it? The enemy has invented so much confusion on purpose. And so I'm thinking this afternoon about, Lord, give us a clear mind about the things of God. And help us to be able to have the Spirit that leads us in the way that He wants us to go. And the Lord says here to us through inspiration, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit." What is a spirit anyway? What is He talking about here? You know, He went on to say, "But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This afternoon, the Lord has a sweet, gentle, pure, Holy Spirit. And all that His Spirit leads us into, we'll follow that. That's the path that He will lead us to. That's the path that He will take us. Young folks, when you start sorting out in your mind the things that are right and wrong, this is for all of us, of course. You know, try the things. Try the spirits, because spirits motivate people. And patterns in people motivate people. I want to come back to that thought here in a minute. But I want to look over here in Luke 9 and 55. And it says here, now in verse 54 it says, "When His disciples..." Now, some here did not receive Jesus. And it says they did not receive Him because His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem. And when His disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt Thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" But He turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what spirit, what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. You know, this afternoon, I'm not thinking just about spirits being possession or demons or something like that. Those exist. And many times those spirits of Satan affect people's ideas. They affect people's manner, the spirit that they're of, the things that they love. And so we're thinking this afternoon of maybe things that come a little closer to home than, you know, well, we know, well, we're not possessed of a spirit. But, you know, there's such a thing as an attitude. There's such a thing as a harsh spirit. There's such a thing as a loose spirit. Those things affect people. They affect us. They come right around us. And something is done and something else gets started. And pretty soon it affects a whole group of people, doesn't it? Don't believe every spirit. Don't fall into line with every attitude, every issue. You know, the Spirit that is of God, it loves holiness. It loves at all times. It loves. It's a pure spirit. It's a spirit that loves godliness. It's a spirit that when you follow the things that is in that, when you follow the movement that it makes, it leads you closer to God. And when we try the spirits, one of the things we do is we look to see where those spirits go. Where is it leading? Try the spirits. What's it mean? Check them out. See the feeling of it. What is it? Is it a fervor that is leading people to a deeper consecration, to more service to God, to love for others, to put away the things of the world? Or is it leading to the world? Is it leading to a way that causes me to have a little condemnation, a little less connection there with the Lord, and I feel like I need to pray? When we feel that, you know what we're doing? The Spirit is helping us to try something. It's helping us to know that's not the way. That's not the way. Beloved, don't believe every spirit. Don't go down every road that comes along. Don't take up with every new thing. But try the spirits, whether they lead to God, whether they lead to humility and love and gentleness and holiness. Thinking about the spirit of holiness this afternoon, the spirit that motivates these people that we just read about, these disciples of the Lord that was walking with Him, they said, "Wilt thou? Should we just command fire to come down out of heaven and consume them? They're not following you. Shall we just have fire come down and consume them?" And Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." He said, "The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." That's the Spirit of God. Young folks, all of us, that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is come seeking. It's come looking for people. It's come looking for those that have needs. For those that kick us in the face. You know what the Spirit of God does? It comes looking for them. Seeking them. Being nice to them. Turning over. And you see big things begin to happen from time to time. Folks, try the spirits. Do they lead to God? Do they lead me to more consecration? Do they lead me to love that person and do them well and love them and go out of my way for them? That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit we want to follow. Shall we call fire down on heaven upon those that we don't see do just what the Lord wants them to? No. We seek and we save. We try. We work with the Spirit. What does the Spirit do? He said, "The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And that's what the Spirit of God does too. I was thinking about the things that the Spirit of God, it motivates everything about us to a closer walk with the Lord. It motivates us to do the will of God instead of away from the will of God. When we fall into something that begins to try to get a hold of us, whether it's a thing of the world, you know, well, is this thing wrong or is this thing right? Things come around and people begin to weigh them out. Is this good? Is this bad? Is this, well, does it lead to holiness? Is it a tool in the Lord's hands? I believe we can weigh things up and use that. Brother Veda one time told me, he said, "The way you know something is God's will or not is if it leads you closer to God." That seemed like a pretty simple definition, but it was pretty strong. First Peter 1:14. It it says here, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. This is the Spirit of God. This is the Spirit that leads us to the Lord. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy because our pattern is holy. What is holiness? What does the word mean? It means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religious, ceremonially consecrated. It's God's, isn't it? And when we live in holiness, we're living to do the will of God in our life. You know, the spirit of the world, it's real. I believe spirits of Satan are behind it. The spirits that are loose in the world that attract people of looseness, of ungodliness, of ungodly dressing even. You know, all of that's part of it. We don't just stop our standard there. That's not where we park ourselves. But you know, I noticed Brother Omar said he looked at the pictures on the internet and he said, I don't think that's them. What was he doing? Why was he looking at dress? Is it all about dress? No, it's not. But you know, there's something about us that speaks, isn't there? There really is. There's something about us that speaks out. I think about the spirits of the world today. Where are they leading people out in the world? Where are they, how are they motivating people to be? We could list a list of descriptions that everybody would be aware of. That's what they're about, aren't they? The spirits of the world. Young folks, I want us to consider something while we're on this, because this isn't really my topic, but it's part of it. I want us to just think about something, because there's always the question, why? It's because it's kind of outside where you see it and has a lot to do with how people feel. But young ladies, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you being different than the young men. There is a spirit of God that loves for there to be a womanliness about a woman and manliness about a man. Now, take it for however you want to. Try to get down to the nitty-gritty, but does the Bible say this? I want to tell you something about the Spirit of God. It's going to cause you, sisters, to be chaste and to be women of God. We sometimes, the question comes up about pants and about those kind of things. We all know each other here pretty much, and I'm just going to talk a little bit plain. There's the Spirit of God that leads to be a real difference. And I will tell you, that comes into play here. Try the spirits and see whether they're of God. See whether those that don that kind of attire draw closer to the womanly godliness that the Scriptures teach. Men, be men. Be men. Dress like men. Don't be effeminate. The Bible tells us effeminate ways are wrong ways. They're not good ways. They don't lead to God. Why don't they? Because God, in all of His wisdom, in all of His holiness and ways of truth, He wants men to be strong. He wants men to be tough, okay? To some degree, I believe that's true. We have to bear the forefront of going out in the world and providing for our families. Stand up and be men, young men. Don't be afraid to get your finger slammed. It'll happen sometimes. It's part of being a man, because that's part of our job. And so when we begin to weigh up what is right, What does the Lord want in all of these things? I'm going to tell you something. Find out what God likes. Find out the spirit He is of. And follow that. I believe it'll really help to follow that spirit. The motivations of the world all around us. And like I said, I really wasn't planning to put too much into the dress thing, but I will tell us, I will say this today. What we see all around us in the undressing of the world and all of those things, don't think there's not a spirit behind that. Don't think that that slide that has, it's out there so far now that you couldn't call it a slide anymore. It's already there. But that slide that we may feel, that pull that we may feel, let me tell you something. The spirit that is of God, it wants us to be careful in our life. It wants us to not have a looseness in our life. All around us, the world has no boundaries. They have no boundaries between men and women. There aren't no boundaries. There's hardly any. And so what do we see? What all the carnage that we see? All the homes everywhere, on every hand, homes broken up and children needing fathers and mothers and having none. Everywhere you see it. It's amazing the extent and depth of it. I want to tell you something. The spirit of the enemy of the world has devised that. It has brought about those changes in our society. And so as we follow through our life, let's just set our sights on something, okay? I want to hone in close to the Lord. I want to be one that hears His voice. I want my life to be one that is not afraid of sacrifice. Not afraid to be the one that puts in more than the rest. Not afraid to lay down my life and my desires. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of holiness. The Spirit of holiness really is to do all the will of God. And so when the Lord at different times, you see the things He said, His meat, He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. That was the Lord's meat. And so young folks, if we want our life to be, to grow close to the Lord and get to know Him, set it in such a way that the path that I'm taking will lead me there. That's the spirit of holiness. Draw your lines back far enough that you aren't pulled all the time by things. In every area of our life, let the spirit of God, let the spirit of holiness be what guides us. In John 1 and 29, it says here, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know that word, behold, look upon. I didn't look up the definition, I have before. But that word, behold, it has meaning in it. And you know, the Lord wants us, I believe, to look upon Him. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God. You know what we look at and what we set up in our mind and our eyes before us? We gravitate toward that. That's why it's so important to try the spirits. Try it. Test it out. See where it's going. See where people that take that path go. These are some safe guidelines that if we'll put into our life, we won't just land up out there somewhere wondering, how did I ever get here and where am I? And where am I going? There's a lot of people land up there. Try those spirits that motivate and see where they land up. You know, I was thinking about the things that come along, devices, and I mean, there's already been enough said here in different messages about the new things that the world has changed. And now, Brother Curtis gave us a wonderful description, the first message, of using cell phones and all those things to turn on things at the house and turn them off. And you can get little messages. One brother, he gets a message if his refrigerator gets below or above a certain temperature. You know, all those things. But you know what? There's also, with the good that can be done there, there are spirits that work. And Satan is ever ready at every one of these junctures to jump in there and take advantage. I just want to encourage us to keep our life in a way of holiness. Keep our life in a Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm beholding your face. My life, I want it to be about you and about your things and the work of God. I think about the things that come along on all these new devices. Is the only thing that we consider just whether something is evil or not? Because that little phone's not evil. But is that the only thing we consider? Young folks, put your life in a pattern that takes you to God. If it steals 2 hours a day out of your day, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not good. If all you're doing is wasting 2 hours a day, in my opinion, if you're wasting more than 20 minutes a day, you're not leaving enough. That's just my opinion. But there's a lot to be done. The Lord wants to lead us close to Him. I don't have time for all these new things. I have a lot of them. We have a lot of things. I try to use them to the glory of God. But you know what? Let's size up life and not just ask, okay, what is everybody doing? Are the ministers saying this is okay? Is others saying this is okay? Begin to learn how to discern. Learn whether things are healthy or not. Does this lead me in a path that's good? Does this kill my spiritual fervor? When I am becoming a part of this, do I have that feeling that I know God is right here? That's a test. That's trying the spirit of the thing. We're not just talking about demons here and there. We're talking about attitudes and things, groups of people, the way people motivate and move. It's not safe for us to just make our test what everybody else is doing. But we have to learn to discern the will of God. Set your sights on something better and more than just the things of this life. And I believe if we'll do that, we'll see growth in our life. Sometimes Jesus told us that there was a time to pluck our eye out. He did. Now, He didn't mean your physical eye. He said there was a time to cut your hand off. Those are necessary items. We don't just cut a hand off. We don't just pluck an eye out. But I'm going to tell you, if something is so important to you that you feel like it's that important and it's drawing you away from God, the spirit of holiness says, has no place in my life. I don't have room for it. Learn how to discern the difference between good and evil. What was it that Solomon asked the Lord? Did he ask the Lord, I want you to make me wise so that I can be rich? I want you to make me wise so that people will say, what a wise man he is. He said he wanted to know the difference between good and bad. That was his language, I believe, was the words. He wanted to know the difference. And so he sought the Lord. Lord, that's what I want to know. And so that I can help lead your people in and out, I want to know the difference between good and bad. I want to know the difference between those things that cause spiritual fervor, spiritual heat in our lives, and those things that cause lethargy. Because there are things that cause lethargy in us. Where you find lethargy, there is a reason for lethargy. Where you find spiritual fire and aliveness and vibrance and vision and hope, and you find a moving forward, there's a reason for that. Somebody's have set their heart in the spirit of holiness. The spirit that ever says, Abba, Father, Lord, teach me and show me your ways and lead me in the way of life everlasting. There, one scripture talks about through reason of use. That's in Hebrews. And Hebrews 5, it says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Did you know not everybody knows the difference? I've been told before, well, everybody kind of knows what's right, what's good and bad, what's right and wrong. No, everybody doesn't know. They really don't. But we should know because our senses begin to be exercised, walking in the ways of the Lord. I want to say this with that. You know, if we begin to do things in our life or live in such a manner that we know it's displeasing to the Lord, it won't be long till we won't know why we have no spiritual fervor. We won't know what it is that's wrong. And so I don't mean to put condemnation on anybody because I know it's a battle. It's a fight. It's a fight with the flesh. But the Lord, I believe, wants us to have spiritual fervor. And I want to use one little illustration here. You know, if we are into our internet, our Facebooking, all these things so much, and then at night or whenever we have very little time for the things of God, I promise you, you will not have spiritual fervor. You will not. You may have some excitement from time to time, but you will not have spiritual fervor. You will not have heat within your soul. And so how do we know about these things? Make sure first that we take time to follow the Lord diligently. Make sure that we're in service. Do you know the Bible says not to abandon assembling of ourselves together? You know, sometimes people get a little discouraged. I've been discouraged. I felt like quitting before. I felt like just not going to church tonight. I don't want to go to church tonight. You know, the Bible says not to give in to that.
That's right.
Certainly not on a regular basis. And so, because we are careful and we follow and we try the spirits and we follow the Spirit of the Lord, you know what I have found? Many times the Lord has picked me completely out of that during that one service I went to. Pressed my way out, and all of a sudden it was completely different. It instead of coming home feeling discouraged or down or whatever, it was totally opposite that. And that was the end of that battle. You know, the Lord works that way. He works that way when we follow the Spirit of holiness. Follow His Word. Follow what God has said and what He has told us. Matthew 16 and 21. I want to read another place here that we're all familiar with. From that time, Matthew 16 and 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now Jesus began to tell them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and the chief priests and scribes and elders, they're going to kill me. That's what's going to happen. And then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, you know, Peter could have jumped on with all the other disciples and started trying to persuade Jesus. Don't do this. Don't go then. Why are you going then? Because it was the will of God. He wasn't looking at the cost. He was looking at the cross. And he was looking at what God's will was for him. And so he said, Peter, get behind me. I don't think he meant, Peter, you're Satan. Of course he didn't. You're motivated by a satanic spirit. Now, is that too much to say? That was the devil wanting. But was Peter then filled with the devil? No, he wasn't. He was just being motivated by a spirit that says, I want the life of ease. I don't want to have to go to the cross. Listen to what Jesus said. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now Jesus went on to say, I'm not the only one that's going to have to lose my life. Because anybody that saves their life is going to lose it in the Lord. And if you lose your life for me and you give up your ways, now it doesn't mean that everybody's going to die on a cross. But we're going to have to lose our life, aren't we? We're going to have to give up our desires and our ways to the Lord and follow him. And he says here, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Lord and his spirit had a whole different take on things, didn't it? He was saying, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And Peter did later take up his cross and follow the Lord. In fact, he was crucified, they believe, upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. But you know, for each one of us, I just want to encourage us this afternoon to follow the spirit of holiness. Young folks, don't look at the saints with a critical eye. I want to tell you something about a critical eye. It's evil. And the Bible says it's evil. Weigh up the things in our life that we need to weigh up. Try the spirits. Look at them. Pray about them. Search the Word of God. What does it say? What does it tell me? So many times we're so caught up in our Facebooking and our internet and all those things. And I don't mean to throw mud on people. Folks, we have to be careful. Because pretty soon we will be making decisions on our own mind. Peter's mind was. Now, was Peter filled with Satan? No, he was just using the mind. He was just using the mind. The enemy was working there too. Don't you die. Don't even think of doing that, Lord. You won't. No way. And Peter was ready to fight when it happened too. But this afternoon, let's don't be afraid to lose our life for the Lord. Follow after the Lord and do the things that we know, and the things we don't know, he will start revealing to us. I've found that many things we don't know when we start. Many things we have no way to know, really. It hadn't come to us yet. But if we will follow the Lord diligently and just do the things that we know, he will help us with the things that we don't know and lead us in a way that will lead us to heaven. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of holiness will lead us to heaven. It'll lead us to a close walk with God. I look at people lots of times and I think of the potential in their lives. And I see them. And I see their natural gifts and makeup. And I think about the potential that this life has. And then I hear them say, I can't. I can't do anything. Or I see them begin to fall into all the things of life and lose their spiritual fervor. And it grieves my heart. Let's follow after the Lord diligently. We enjoy so many things about life. We do. But do you know that all those good things of life, the devil has dedicated a counterfeit for it. And so we say, oh, I love to go fishing. I do. I love to fish. I don't have much time for it, but I love to fish. But you know, someone else says, I love to fish. And that's what they do with their life. That's a spirit that is motivating them that they don't realize is not the spirit of holiness. It's not going to lead them to God. The Lord wants us to use the things of this world and not abuse them. The modern technologies that we have a number of instances where it has so blessed people. How many of us here have listened to messages on the internet? You don't have to raise your hand. We use that technology. Isn't it wonderful? But if your life is about technology, it won't be a blessing at all. It will lead us away from God. And so everything that we find, we want to look nice, don't we? Everybody, most people want to be presentable and look decent, look nice. But you know, if our life becomes about vanity and about who we are, we've lost the whole thing, haven't we? And so the Spirit of Holiness says, I'm seeking God. I'm seeking His will. I'm wanting to draw close to Him. I want His will. See, Peter was missing something here, and he didn't know it. Peter didn't mean to be doing wrong. He said here, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Rebuke the Lord. He began to rebuke him. Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter had no idea what he was saying. But you know what the Lord kept in view all through that? My will is to do the will of the Father. That's my will. And it was the cross for him. I don't know what God's will is for you, each one, but I want to encourage you to follow after those things that lead to God. And let it lead you. The Spirit of Holiness leads to God. You know, when we're young, many times there's a lot of confusing things in our mind. I still have some confusing things in my mind. But the Lord has cleared up so many things. You know, He does that, doesn't He? The Spirit of Holiness leads to God. All your life you will grow. All your life you will begin to understand more the mind of the Father. You'll begin to find out, the Lord's been dealing with me about some things lately that has been so beneficial in my life. I wished I could have got a hold of that 25 years ago, but I'm still growing. You know, tonight or this afternoon, the Lord wants to lead us. Young folks don't get, or any of us, don't get discouraged because we're not where we want to be. We're on the road. We're following the Spirit of Holiness, and it will lead us to heaven. It will lead us to a clarity in our experience with God. It will lead us away from the flesh that so afflicts us. The flesh afflicts people. I don't know if we realize how much the flesh afflicts people. Feeling down, feeling letting things come in our mind and in our heart. You know what? Many times those are little, I say, spirits, attitudes, whatever you want to call them. They're little things that the world, that the enemy brings into our arena to try to sidetrack us. And the Lord He wants to lead us to a closer place with Him where we can not be so affected by those things, where we can be more effective for Him instead of chasing down all the rabbit trails of our feelings, all the rabbit trails of our questionings. Stay centered on the Lord. He'll reveal it in due time. When we need to know it, we'll get to know it. We don't have to know everything about things to serve God. We don't have to be really clear. And I say this without any hesitation. We don't have to be really clear on every doctrine when we start. There's many things we don't know. We just have to serve God. serve Him in the spirit of holiness. We can start out with that. We can be motivated to follow the Lord. And you know what? All along the way, He'll establish one point after another in our life. That's the way the Lord works. We don't want to get discouraged because, well, I just don't understand it all and I don't know why I'm where I'm at. Listen, serve the Lord with all your heart. Do the things you know are right. And I believe you'll find the Lord working with you. 3 John 11 says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Follow that which is good. Follow after it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 5, at the end of the verse, it says, "But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." And Romans 12 and 9, at the end of that verse, it says, "Cleave to that which is good." I believe if we'll do these things, it will lead us to God. We're told to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're in or wherewith we are called. And so I believe if we'll just follow the Lord, He'll lead us where we're wanting to go. In Philippians 1 and 27, we're almost done. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." I appreciate the Lord this afternoon and His goodness to us. I can only say that it's not rocket science. If you just follow the Lord with all your heart, don't pay attention to your own lack of understanding in areas, to those things. Just follow that which is good and follow the ways of the Lord, and it will lead you to God. Amen.